Ulabasitor goshantarabasito. Blessed be your holy name. Oh, hallelujah, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Blessed be your holy name. Wow. What an awesome worship time you've had this morning. Hallelujah. Blessed be his holy name. He's a way maker. He's a promise keeper. He's the light in our darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning, dear ones. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. I pray you've had a blessed week. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. And he is faithful. Today, I want to share about passing the tests of faith. Don't you know, we all face tests. Yes, we do. We all face tests of faith. Right now, I'm in a test of faith. So this message is to me first. The question is, when we find ourselves in a test of faith, will we trust in our own abilities, in other people, in the things of this world, like the government? Or will we trust in God, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord and our Savior? You know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3, 13 through 30, gives us a powerful example of what it means to pass a test of faith. You know, the king had commanded everyone to worship a golden idol. But these three Hebrew men refused. They said, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from the power, from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. In the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see a powerful picture of what it means to have faith in God, rather than faith in our own faith. Let me say that again. We need to have faith in God, rather than faith in our own faith. These men didn't say, we believe God can rescue us, therefore he will. Instead, they said, God is able to rescue us, but even if not, we will still serve him alone. They trusted in God's power and goodness, not in their own ability to manipulate the outcome. That is a powerful truth that they modeled here. We must trust God, whether he acts on our behalf or not, in the way that we expect. That's not the point. We don't focus on getting what we want, when we want, how we want. That's not faith. That's manipulation. This is a crucial distinction. When we have faith in our faith, we are essentially trusting in our own ability to believe, to have enough faith, to convince God to act on our behalf. We start to think that if we just believe strongly enough, God is obligated to give us the outcome we want. But this turns faith into a work, something we do to try to control God. And you will hear many times when people are praying for those, all you need to do is have enough faith. But Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. You know how small a mustard seed is? It's very, very tiny. So all we need is a teensy bit of faith. when we can move mountains. We can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it will obey. It's not about if you just have enough faith. Because if you're trying to have enough faith, then you're putting faith in your faith. On the other hand, having faith in God means trusting in his character, his sovereignty, his goodness, regardless of the outcome. It means saying, God, I believe you're about to do this. But even if you don't do what I'm asking, I will still trust you. I will still worship you. How many of us can do that? How many of us can just trust God and worship him no matter what we believe he will or won't do? Because if we focus on the wrong thing, then we slip into having faith in our faith, or we get disappointed and then we get mad at God. Because he didn't do what we wanted him to do, when we wanted him to do it, how we wanted him to do it. But God is good all the time. And he knows what we need. He knows what's best for us. He will show up on time. He is never late. So this kind of faith is not about getting what we want from God. It's about knowing and resting in who God is. It's about trusting that he is good, that he loves us, and he is working everything out for our good, even when we can't see it. We sang that song, Waymaker, this morning. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Yes, it's true. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. True faith seeks God himself, not just his blessings. It trusts in his character, his love, his sovereignty. When we face tests of faith, where will our trust be? Will we have faith in our own ability to believe? Or will we have faith in God's goodness and power no matter what happens? This is a powerful concept to meditate on. We often put our faith in the wrong things. We trust in our bank accounts, our jobs, our health, our relationships. Now, these things aren't bad to have. Good to have money in the bank. Good to be able to pay our bills, amen? And it's good to have a job because God uses jobs to put money in our bank account so that we can pay our bills. And it's good to be healthy. And it's good to have relationships, especially when those relationships are godly relationships. People who will empower you to fulfill your destiny, your God-ordained destiny. But none of these things can ultimately save us. They can all be taken away in an instant. True faith trusts in God alone, even when we don't see a way out, because God cannot be killed in a car accident. God cannot get cancer and die. God is not your job. He can always provide another job if you lose your job. If your source of income goes away, he can provide another one. Your bank account is not God. You know, stuff here on earth, it can be stolen, destroyed. We had recently a hurricane go through, go through this area. And many people lost their homes, their cars, and even their lives. In an instant, in one night, many people lost everything. So if you're putting your faith, your trust in your house or your material possessions, then that's the wrong place. That can be taken away from you in an instant. Hebrews 11:1 tells us, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not about seeing proof. It's about trusting in God's character. It's about believing He is good, He is sovereign, and He loves us no matter what our circumstances look like. Wow. Take your eyes off your circumstance. Put your eyes on the Lord. Seek Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is faithful and will not allow us to be tempted or tested beyond what we are able. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation is overtaking you except such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. This is a powerful promise. When we face tests of faith, it can feel overwhelming. But God promises He will not allow us to be tempted or tested beyond what we have the strength to bear. And not only that, but He will always provide a way to escape, a way to endure. This doesn't mean we won't feel stretched or that it will be easy, but it means God will always give us the grace we need in the moment we need it, so we can trust Him even when the testing feels severe. He is faithful and will enable us to stand. That is why we must always look for the way of escape. When we are tested, seek the Lord. Look for His way of escape and trust in Him that no matter what happens, all things work together for good. And you will be better, not bitter, when the test is over. Amen. We want to grow. We want to allow God to grow us through these tests of faith and exit out the other side better. B-E-T-T-E-R. Not bitter, B-I-T-T-E-R. Amen? Because if we allow a root of bitterness to grow up, it will defile not only ourselves, but all those around us. So we want to focus on the goodness of God. He will make a way. Look for it, look for it, look for it. If it's a test of, you know, you're being tempted to sin, definitely look for that way out. You don't want to fall into sin. But, you know, also if it's a financial test, what's the temptation? The temptation is to get into fear or other things. Think about what is tempting you to trust in your own strength, run after worldly goods, go after the government's help, maybe. I don't know. What's the temptation? What's the way of escape from that temptation? Trust in the Lord. Believe He's good and He will care for you. Here are some scriptures that can help us endure tests of faith. Let's start with one we have already mentioned, but it's important enough to repeat. So never forget, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Let it sink in. You are not the first one to encounter this circumstance. The Lord has an answer. You will be able to endure it if you put your eyes on Yeshua, not the problem or situation. Amen. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Here we see again an exhortation to put our eyes on Yeshua. He is our very present help in times of trouble, a strong tower we run into. Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. He is your shepherd. Let him lead you through the fire. Amen. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. He is your shepherd. Let him lead you, because when you do follow him, you come out unscathed. You won't be drowned. You won't be burned. You won't even smell like fire. When the three Hebrew children came out of that fiery furnace, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. So if we walk with the Lord and let him lead us as our good shepherd, that's what it'll be for us too. We will come out the other side not even smelling of smoke. And remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. He gives you strength. Amen. And Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? That is his purpose, not your own. If you are born again, then this promise is for you. And note that it says he causes all things to work together for good. That's good and bad. So if you're going through a bad situation, difficult trial, like maybe you've gotten some sickness, cancer or something, or you're financially strapped, you lost your job, your income has ended. That wouldn't be a good thing, would it? But he will work that situation out for good if you let him. Have faith in him. No matter what happens, it's going to be good in the end. Believe that. Really, truly believe that. No matter what happens, it will be good in the end because God causes all things to work together for good. Amen. And Hebrews 12:11 says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Now, here we have the word discipline. And discipline doesn't always mean punishment. If you are in habitual sin, then discipline may be punishment, and that your body is afflicted so that your soul will be saved. But discipline is also training to exercise self-control. When a person is training for a sport and they want to be the top of their game, they discipline themselves to eat right, to exercise, to train. That discipline is not punishment. They're not punishing themselves. They're disciplining themselves to do what is needful so that they can be at peak performance and win. Amen? So some discipline, sometimes it's difficult having to do without some of the things that cater to the flesh. But we don't want to cater to flesh. Maybe it's good to stop eating dessert. Maybe it's good to stop playing games and spending money on things that are not beneficial to the fulfillment of your destiny. So if you discipline yourself to avoid things that are hindering you, then it may not be fun at first, but then you may be sad. I don't get to watch TV, or I don't get to eat that cake, or whatever it is. But if you're trained by it and you see that it brings good into your life and it benefits you, then it will yield the peaceful fruit of righteousness and things will be better for you afterwards. And then it's no longer sorrowful. Well, now I really don't want to watch that TV program anymore. I really don't want to eat that cake anymore. It's not tasting as good as it did. And healthy food is tasting better to you because you've trained yourself, you've disciplined yourself. So in the beginning, it was not joyful, but sorrowful. You were sad, but then you were trained by it. And now peaceful fruit of righteousness is growing. Amen. So yeah, discipline yourself. Self-control is a virtue. It's a fruit of the Spirit. And James 1:2-4 exhorts us, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. Wow. How can we count it all joy when we're going through a trial? Our income has disappeared. Our bills have to be paid. Ooh, that can be a difficult situation. How can we consider it joy? Seek the Lord and ask Him. Make a choice. Exercise self-discipline, self-control. Tell yourself, worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this trial that's testing my faith. Thank you for this opportunity to grow in my faith. My income may have disappeared for a time. The Lord will provide. He will take care of me. He is faithful. I am His child. He's a good father. And thank you. Laugh, laugh. If the enemy is stealing from you, laugh. Laugh at the enemy. When the thief is found out, when he's caught, you have to pay back sevenfold. Woohoo! I'm going to get seven times what you're taking from me, devil. If you get sick, oh, it's not fun. But thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to rest. I've been so busy, and now you are giving me an opportunity to rest. I'm going to take this opportunity to just lay in the bed and rest. Find a way for it to be joyful. Because we're exhorted in James to consider it all joy. And it's various trials. So whatever the trial is, you need to consider it joy. And let that test of your faith produce endurance. So you can endure to the end. Because last time we talked about, if you endure to the end, you will be saved. Amen? Endure to the end of this trial. You will be saved. Endure to the end of your life. You will be saved. And testing your faith produces endurance. And then once we have endurance, it says endurance will have its perfect result. What's that result? We will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How many of you want to lack in nothing? That's what shalom is. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. Perfect peace. We all want shalom in our homes. Amen? So Selah on these two verses this week. Hebrews 12:11 and James 1:2-4. Just think about it. Meditate on it. Are we allowing the discipline of the Lord to produce the fruit of righteousness in us? Are we exercising self-discipline and producing the fruit of righteousness? Are we counting it all joy when we go through the test? I know I need to be reminded of these verses because I want to be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How about you? 2 Corinthians 1:8-10 says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will deliver us." He will yet deliver us. So we need to remember, what's the worst thing that can happen? The worst thing that happens is you can die. Then, you know, death is not really a bad thing at all. Not if you have been born again and put your trust in the Lord. Because if you die, if you leave this earth, you're with him. You're in heaven, and heaven's an awesome place. It's a wonderful place. Those who are left behind may be sad, but if we all remember to be born again means to be with Christ when we die, and when those who go before us, we'll see them again when we get there. So death is really not a bad thing. We're sad because we will miss our loved ones, and they brought joy into our life and blessing into our life. But, you know, we should be happy for them that now their trials and tribulation has totally ended. They're in their in the place of reward and blessing. They're with the Lord. And that should be a joyful thing. So the key here is to trust in God, not ourselves. And not in other people. And not in the government. And not in the bank account. Examine your situation. The test you find yourself in. Are you trying to solve it? Pass it in your own strength. Or run into Yeshua and ask him for the solution. Let me say that again. Because this is like, I don't want to go too fast over this. Because a lot of times we try to solve our own problems. We try to pass things in our own strength. So are you trying to solve it or pass it in your own strength? Or are you running to Yeshua and asking him for his solution? I know for me, I get into this trap. Like something happens and I immediately try to look for a solution. But I do it with my own mind and my own thoughts, and based on what I already know and my past experiences. And I try to figure out, ooh, I can solve this. How can I solve this? What's the best way to solve this? And then in God saying, hey, be still. Know that I'm God. Stop. Don't try to solve that problem in your own strength. Come to me. Come to me. I will show you how I want you to solve that problem. And this time may not be like last time. You know, God doesn't always solve your problems the same way every time. You have to look for God's solution this time. In Psalms 34:19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." The Lord will deliver you. He will deliver me. The righteous have many afflictions. We go through a lot of trials and tribulations. But the Lord, if we let him, will deliver us out of them all. The point is to go to him and ask how he wants to do things. He is your Lord. He's your Savior. He's your King. He's the Creator. And he knows what's best. And doing it the way you did last time, this time, may not work. So we have to ask every time, what's the solution today? Make it a habit every day just to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do today? No matter if the situation is bad or good, whether you're going through a trial or not, make it a habit. Ask the Lord, what should I do today? What's on the agenda? What's on your agenda, Lord? Let's set aside our own agendas and ask the Lord what his agenda is. We may be surprised. A lot of times his agenda is our agenda. He may want you to clean the house. He may want you to do that load of laundry. He may want you to go do your job, you know, get that paycheck. And if you have a job that's depending on you, I would say most days you have to go to work. And God wants you to be responsible. But what about after work? What does he want you to do? A lot of times he wants you to spend time with your family. Sometimes he wants you to go minister to your neighbor. What is it that God is calling you to do right now? Make a habit of seeking the Lord and his desires. And make your desires his desires. Because when your desires are the Lord's desires, he fulfills the desires of your heart. Amen? Amen? That's the key to getting what you want, is make what you want what God wants. These scriptures remind us of God's presence, his sovereignty, his promise to work all things for good, his faithfulness to deliver us, and his power to strengthen us. They can bring comfort and hope when we're facing tests of faith. And there are many more verses that we could find and meditate on to help us through the tests of faith. The most important thing to do, though, when you are going through a test, and even when you are not, is found in Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See? Seek the Lord. Seek his kingdom first. He knows what you need. All these things will be given to you if you have your priorities straight. Priority is seek his kingdom and his righteousness first. When we face tests of faith, will we trust in ourselves or in others or in the world, like the government? Or will we trust in God? Will we have faith in our faith? Or will we have faith in God? Will we try to solve the problem, pass the test in our own strength, or seek the kingdom in his righteousness? It's a choice. Everything's a choice. We must make a choice. And I pray that you make the right choices. Wow, this has been a challenging message today. Let's ask God to help us trust in him and him alone, even when the fires of testing come, and to seek his kingdom and his righteousness at all times. Then we will see the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Lord Yeshua, we thank you for this powerful message and reminder. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. But we want to have the right kind of faith. All we need is a little bit of faith. We want to have faith in you, not faith in our own faith. Help us to be self-disciplined, self-controlled. We would manage our time and resources wisely, that we will bless those around us and have good relationships. Lord, help us to attend first to our relationship with you. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Because we know when we do that, you'll add all these other things to us. You'll take care of us. You'll provide all the resources we need to pay our bills. You'll keep us healthy and strong. You'll give us good relationships and help us to fulfill our destiny Lord, forgive us for trying to trust in our own strength and do things in our own way. Forgive us, Lord, for not seeking you in your way. Help us to seek that way of escape through every situation. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You are so good. You are so faithful. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, your faithfulness, your forgiveness. Cover us with your blood. Surround us with your angels. Strengthen us and continually remind us every day of this lesson and other lessons that you have taught us. Help us to be faithful to you as you're faithful to us. Help us to build on the rock of Yeshua HaMashiach, that our house may stand in the times of storms. We bless your holy name. Keep us safe this week and tuck us into you. We pray in Yeshua's name. And as always, as you do life this week, seeking his kingdom and putting your faith in him, may there be shalom in your home.